This recording, England 31, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in the deserted district of the Territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. She then put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma? Comma?" which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. She first tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." Okay, well, I was born in Appledore in 1944, which was sort of during the war. And by the age of 3 months, I was taken out fishing by my parents in their boat. And from then on, I was always on the beach fishing or looking for crabs or always on the beach playing around and doing things in boats and things like that. And when I grew up, after I grew up and finished my schooling, I went nursing and became a theatre nurse for, oh, I forget how long, 13, 14 years. And all the time I lived in Appledore and I was on call for the theatre. I used to have to get out and go to work at night and come back again during the day or when we finished and go fishing. Mostly look after the boats and the chickens and the fowls and, you know, do lots of things just locally, really. Never went anywhere very much. When I had my holidays, always spent it fishing and out in the boats or doing things like that. Well, there was a lady in Appledore who had a son and her thought the world of this son. And he was, our Bert. Has got eyes like pearls and skin like alabaster. and he'd come home with this future daughter-in-law, this Bert, they said to her one day, "What's her like? What's your future daughter-in-law going like?" "Her isn't much to look at, but I've got a beautiful set of teeth." And I could tell you some, what is it they say, Dreckley, don't them?
Yeah.
Directly. And Portshead. What else used to go out? Portshead. Mm-hmm. And your father used to, ever open the window, and he'd say, because you'd be creeping down the street in your welly boots to go out Portshead, and his father had the pub, you see, down the bottom of the street. And his father used to go down on the quay last thing, didn't he, before he locked up. And Jack would be walking up the hoop, and he'd say, "Hi, you buggers, you going out Portshead again?" And of course, you'd be there creeping along, trying to go along, and he'd be shouting out your name, wouldn't he?
Yeah, because it was in the summer, he used to lie in bed, you know, and the windows would be open, like, and you could hear the ballet boots, and they'd echo as they come down over the one end street, see? "I know there's you down forward, so there's no good trying to creep."
Yeah, and whenever he saw me, his father, he'd shout out, "Andy, get your gun, there's a worm in the garden, lying on his back with his belly to the sun." Every time he said, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It used to be dreadful. Mm-hmm. And when my father used to see these women up on Appledore Quay sitting with their legs up on the rails, like that, didn't him? He used to look up and say, "My lord," he said, "the map of Clue Valley." And if they had big breasts, I'll call it proper, he used to say, "My God, look at that woman over there, got a fine pair of fenders."
I used to say to her father, because he took me out fishing once, or he took me out fishing a lot of times.
He hadn't got one.
And he said to her one day, I said to him, "How is it, everyone all right?" "Like a lion," he used to say. "Like a lion. A dandelion." He always said, every time he saw me, he used to say that.
Yeah.
Like a lion.
Like a lion, yeah.
Like a dandelion.
Dirty toads.
Yeah, dirty toads.